everyone, and welcome back to New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. Hi, my name is Morgan Brown. If you're coming back to the show, thank you again for tuning in. If this is the first time you're listening to this, hi, awesome, nice to meet you. We're cool, we're friends now. Things are great. Sorry about the time delay. Sorry about things. I have been dealing with a lot of the heavies, as they're called, a lot of the heavies of life. You know, dealing with all this stuff that's not the things that you want to do. Needless to say, I saw Tick, Tick, Boom, and yeah, we know. Art is rough, and wanting to do the things that you want to do is tough, so I apologize for not putting out as many episodes, and things are still going well. We still have live shows going on in April. Hopefully, if everything goes well within the next couple weeks, some live shows with music. And, you know, if you can, do the dumb thing, follow the socials, at Morgan C. Brown Music. For new stuff on A New Sound with Morgan Brown, new stuff with music stuff, with my name, with anyone's name, anyone I'm promoting, go listen to the podcast playlist I have on Spotify. It's great. It has all the artists that have been on the podcast so far. And honestly, just thank you so much again for supporting. But my buddy Peter McDermott is on the show. My new friend, shout out to the band Slumber, who were on the podcast a couple weeks ago. They're absolutely fantastic. Peter heard that. Asked to come on the show. That's new. That's sick. And I was super happy to have Peter on. So without any further ado, this is my buddy Peter McDermott. His new album is out. Please go check it out. And it's going to sound a little bit like this. Have a lovely day.
Summertime in the city when I lost myself. I was yelling at cars as I walked through hell. It looked like Brooklyn with the red stoplights. My blood was rushing as I clung to life. But what did I think would happen to me when all I want is big lights and screams? Oh, am I a victim of the times? A mile back of a starting line? Oh, are you a blessing or a curse?
Hey, Peter, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Morgan, how you doing, man?
Ah, you know what? We're chilling. We out here. We're just hanging out. How are you doing? Because your full-length record is out.
I'm doing great, man. I'm really, really excited about the release. And I've gotten a pretty good review from everybody who's listened to it so far.
It's sick.
So
it's great.
I think it's got enough of everything for everyone. You know, I have a bunch of my friends growing up who were, you know, kind of into what we were just talking about before, like the like, I guess you'd call like
indie rock scene. Yeah.
Like
rock.
Yeah. Indie rock scene. And then I had a lot of my friends who were growing up who were really into bands like the Menzingers and Sorority Noise and all that stuff. And then I grew up with, you know, two parents who loved folk and country music.
Well, that was the interesting thing too. When I was listening to the record, I mean, specifically, I watched all like of the live video sessions that you did, which were absolutely awesome. And I also listened to the record as well. And it was interesting because the main single, Life of the Party, has this where I was like, I couldn't tell what you like to listen to. I was like, this sounds indie, but also you have it like you present like almost like your voice is very like Killers-esque, like in a way that I was like, okay, cool. I see a lot of that. But then overall, it's just a great cacophony of a bunch of different genres all put together, because we always talk on this podcast all the time about how genre is completely dead anyway.
Yeah. So the way I kind of found out about this podcast was, Nick Sosi Romano, who his band Slumber was on here.
Oh, Slumber, and they're sick.
Yeah, I love their sound, man.
They're sick.
They're insane. They're doing a giant gig, I believe in like the next week or two.
Yeah, I saw that.
Opening up for the Gym Blossoms.
That's
a band like I love, I guess like a lot of like people, I guess people call it like indie pop now or like, you know, more classic alternative now.
Right.
But that like late 90s, early 2000s stuff, from, you know, from the Gym Blossoms, which is really pop heavy, to the Killers.
Oh no, absolutely.
I am a giant Killers, the first four albums of Kings
Oh,
of
yeah,
Leon in
they're amazing.
particular. And that's really kind of the sound that I grew up on. You talk to any kid who grew up in, you know, like the post-punk or indie or alternative, whatever you call it. Everybody comes back to really one record, and that's Hot Fuzz.
I mean, it's I mean, that and Sam's Town are two just stupid good records.
Yeah. And so stupid. I'm really glad. I'm really glad you said that, because, you know, that's definitely a sound. I always wanted to see what an acoustic guitar would sound like in a Killers song, because they really don't use a lot of that.
No, they use a lot of process instruments specifically, but very guitar, like electric guitar heavy. And their tone is so specific as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the whole thing. So I grew up like linked to all of that stuff, playing in a band that played like that type of style. And then right as I started going out on my own, I only had an acoustic guitar myself. So I was just doing coffee shops and basically any open mic I could.
No, absolutely.
So a lot of the time.
Well, I want to dive into your past as well. And first off, going off the late 90s thing, I don't know why it took me so long to like, but I've been talking to all my friends recently. I've been in such like a Lemonheads kick. I don't know why, but like Evan Dando, man. That dude's sick.
There's this group of like late 90s stuff where it's like four hit wonders. Like that's what my brother always referred to it. It's like four hit like pop
Absolutely.
Wonders where it's like the Lemonheads or like Third Eye Blind. Like,
but they're so sick. But they're like so tight.
Yeah. And if you go see any of them now, they still kill it.
Crush it.
Every time.
Dude, it's absolutely sick. But I want, so yeah, you had a very interesting musical journey, and I want to discuss, because I feel like a lot of the things that you've also just said to me in like the first 5 minutes have resonated in the way that I feel, but you've probably gone through it at a much higher scale. When did you first get involved in music specifically? Because you had a really big band, and I want to get into that like after, but where did your like initial like music start kind of thing, and where are you from?
So I was born and raised in Long Island, New York, just outside the city, about an hour and a half.
What part of Long Island?
The South Shore, right around like the beaches and stuff like that. So right around like Bay Shore and Beach, that area.
And I've only been once. I've been to Amityville once.
So Amityville is like 20 minutes from where I grew up.
You ever play Revolution?
Yeah, I played the Revolution.
Who hasn't, right?
And that was...
That goddamn venue is sick, but man, it's ridiculous.
That venue, I remember, that was like one of the first venues I remember playing growing up, where it was like, it's like Ollie's Point at one point. Mm-hmm. That was like the first incarnation of it. And then it was like the Amityville Bar at one point, which was like only lasted like a couple months. And then it was Revolution. And I don't know what it's like now. I haven't been back to that club in like a couple of years. I saw a show recently, Amityville Music Hall. Which
oh, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, of course. I've been there too.
That's a tighter club. But yeah, so I grew up, I started playing drums when I was about 8 years old. I had an older brother who was a guitar player. And essentially, he had all of his friends who were guitar players or singers or could play like keyboards or something like that. And they had like one bass player between, they didn't have any drummers. So he was like, if you want to hang out with us, you play drums. I'm like, I guess I play drums.
I guess I play drums now.
So I started learning him. He started teaching me the very basics he knew. So we started playing the most simple stuff he could. So White Stripes, and then
Green
the,
Day,
I was like,
fucking
Green Day, the Ramones, like all
three chord bands.
Like when my brother was like, you know, like, okay, we're gonna start being some AC/DC now. It's a little, you know, it's just a little like
that's
glory
the next
beat.
Step up, man.
yeah. I moved above Meg White to, you know, the guys playing in the 70s. So that's how I really started. And then I got into playing with a band and grew that way, but I was a drummer at first. Mm-hmm. So like, you know,
were you
Dave
trained
Roller,
or did you ever, you did everything by feel?
Well, so yeah, I started out by feel until about like 10 or 14. So like from 8 until about 13 or 14, I just did everything by ear. I listened to records like crazy. I would go with my giant headphones up in, you know, my room or my brother's room where we drum kit, and I would just hit away. So I'd pick a record and try to pick like a record every other week and try to see if I could play through it by the end of the week.
I mean, that's sick. That's a great way to like keep your, you know, keep going. And so you were never like a rudiment guy, like, or I mean, you later took lessons and stuff, but.
Yeah. So like around 13 or 14, I then tried to get into like a high school, like a middle school, high school band. And the guy was like, so what can you do? And I was like, I can show you what I can do. I don't know how to say what I can do.
Right.
And then I had a band teacher who hooked me up with this great private teacher. And so I went to him for a little bit, and I went to him for like 2 or 3 years. And he's like, the problem is, he's like, you're so deep down the rabbit hole of like learning as a ear person that he's like, I'm trying to teach you how to read music. But he said, you got the majority of it. Like you could say, you know, do something this way, you'll do it. But he's like, if I try to write it on a page, it's so hard for you to grasp. So I eventually got there, but like the last, when I was like 17 or 18, I started really picking up how to read music and rudiments and everything like that. So I was doing them for the longest time. I just didn't know that I was doing them.
Right. So you were in the full fledge of like being a drummer and everything. Now, when did the band start? When did Vitality, correct?
Yeah. So Vitality started when I was about, so probably around the same time I started like really being like, okay, I'm a good drummer now.
You're a drummer. I'm decent. Yeah. You're in. You're in the club. You could do a paradiddle.
Yeah, I've learned like the lingo and stuff.
Right.
And so I remember going to my brother when we were like 30, just started writing songs and stuff like that. And he was kind of like more shy. And I was like, you know, we could play in other places that's not like our basement or our garage. Let's try to do it. So there was a bowling alley down the street from where I lived, and I had a buddy Charlie and his brother Matt who would book shows there like on occasion, and they'd just be like, yeah, we'll get bands coming. They booked A Day to Remember at one point.
What? That's in nuts.
The bowling out
at the bowl. Crazy.
My sisters went to the show that, and they were like, we saw this band from like Pennsylvania playing in like East Lane.
that's
so
nuts.
I remember that they did shows, and I was like, hey, listen, if we just play for free for you guys, can we be your like house band? Like if you guys have no one that like show up or fit the bill, like we'll do every opening act, we'll do the latest act. And they're like, sure. So we started doing that for a bunch of years. And so we got really good there. And then we started
like
going
grinding,
out.
Like really?
Yeah. I mean, like we were playing at like 3 a.m. in a bowling alley.
That's sick. That's fucking sick.
Yeah. And I mean, or you'd be playing like 6 at a bowling alley on a Friday. So it'd be like, there were some gigs that we had a bunch of other friends. I became really good friends with a band from Mayo Pack, guys called Reckless Serenade, who ended up going on Warped Tour and doing all that stuff.
Awesome.
And,
so just like a really kind of hub, because I feel like so many bands like randomly like come from Long Island. I don't know what it is, but there's just a really general, like great music scene out there.
It's something in the water, man. And I'm so glad that I came out of that scene in particular, because there was a real like helpful nature. Like everybody really wanted to help each other out and succeed. It wasn't really much like you're taking our time to play, or like you're forcing us out. Or it's like, it was really like, hey, like, don't be a dick. Try to get off the stage. Like if you got 30 minutes, just to keep it as tight to 30 minutes again. If you went one song over and people were really digging it, they don't really care.
No, absolutely. I mean, the one time I played Revolution, it was just like the most supportive environment ever.
Yeah, and that was the whole vibe. So from East Side of Plains, we went out, we played Revolution, we played there's a place called the Zebra Club that we played a bunch of times, Leaky Light In, we played all over the place.
Now are you touring at this point? Are you like full band, like full on doing your own songs and stuff?
Yeah, so like right around the age when I was like 15 or 16, we were playing every weekend, every other weekend. And we were really touring as much. We were just playing around like bars in Long Island that we knew.
Right.
And then I was like 16. I couldn't get in. So like a lot of times we'd have to have like somebody who was over 21 come with us. So like we had like a cousin of mine who'd be like, I'll make sure that this kid like come plays and leaves. Like I booked a show one time and I wasn't able to play the show.
That sucks.
So
we had to get though.
Yeah, like I remember there was I won't say the place, but we booked it, and I booked it for like 3 other bands. I was like, we're gonna do like a charity night, like we'll do it for like a charity or a buddy of ours with sick and stuff like that. I'm like 16 at the time, and I booked these 4 bands in a row. And the guy was like, he's like, I've heard of all four of these bands like in the area. He's like, you had like good recommendations from like other bars and stuff like that. He said, I'm looking for Pete. I said, like, I'm standing out there. I have no beard. I look like a kid. And he goes, are you Pete's son? Or are you his like, he's like, are you somebody? I was like, no, I am Pete. I was the guy who called you on the phone. His name was like Eric. Like, and I was like, it's me. And he goes, oh no, you're not. He's like, we're not doing the show then. I'm like, I've got three bands, not including mine, that are like, we've got people here. We've got people in the show. It's like, the bar was pretty much full. We got 10 people, each of us. I was like, we got to do the show. Everybody else can do the show. He's like, I can't let you in, man. And so we had the person with us was like, come on, like, I'll let him in. Like, and he's like, fine. Like,
put the double like, X's on.
Yeah. He's like, the guy has to stand next to you. And I'm like, okay. So the guy literally, like, it was my cousin who was literally like, sit, like, we have pictures from that show. It's like, through like our guitar player, my brother, who's the lead singer, guitar player, our bass player, and then me. And then there's a guy sitting next to me. It's my cousin.
That's so funny.
And dear, so, but the
oh
nice,
God,
the nice thing about it was like coming out too, is like the guy was like, oh, that was a pretty good set. Like, that's it.
That's sick. Oh my God, dude. It's so nice to hear that you were doing that stuff, because I mean, I relate so much. Like, I was literally like the 14-year-old kid that was like booking like Knights of Columbus shows and like trying to find shows all around my town just to support the people that I like came up with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so nice to even hear like the different places. Like, there's always at least like one or two kids who do that. And to me, it was honestly, it's just like one of those like cool things that like that happens. Like, that happened to me all the time. Like, same exact shit.
It's so nice seeing that, man. It's so nice seeing that it's still like I played a show a little while ago up in like upstate New York and like Westchester County. And I met like a similar kid who was doing the same thing. And he's just like, I figured like, why not try and go to places?
No, exactly.
I was like, yeah. I was like, they're really receptive after all. I was doing the same thing that you were like 10 years ago.
Literally. No, I think, and like, that's the thing that like, it's so interesting that it keeps like going and stuff. And I think that's like why like so many music scenes just stay so solid, because the kids who go to those shows grow up and then want to do the same thing. Like, at least I think that's my personal case scenario, but otherwise it's just such a good feeling to see that.
No, I totally agree with you. And it's really great, because I haven't really heard of like those kids being like shut out from that. Like, a lot of times people are just like, oh yeah, man, like, you're in middle school trying to do this. Like, I give you so much credit. It's like,
thing you can do. That's the only thing you could say. You got to give mad respect to these kids, dude. So if you're listening, go play a show that's booked by a 12-year-old. It's probably going to be fucking sick.
Yeah. And guess what? Cause like, and my favorite too is like, those kids will pack the place.
No,
like,
literally.
They always will. Like, I remember we played the bowling alley once, and they're like, we did that like two or three summers in a row. And then we had started playing other places all around the island. And then we'd started playing like upstate New York a little bit. And then it was like our last show of the summer. They did something on Labor Day. So they did like a Friday, Saturday show too, like back to back. And it was one of those really organic things where we were like, hell yeah, like, we see this band that played with us like a couple weeks ago. We have this band from upstate that came down for this. And it was like half of the bowling alley was just filled with people of like varying, like, you would have people that would be like my age that were like 16, 17. And then you have people who were like mid, late 20s, and everybody was just having a good time. Like, it was like just a really cool environment, and we could pack half of a bowling alley, which was just like a weird but cool and like odd place to play, but it was a great environment. So everybody's that venue. Everybody got like a weird venue like that, where they were like that Knights of the Columbus, or like, there's a right where I'm around in Queens is an old church they bought, and they just used the basement to play.
Oh
shows.
No, basement and shows, church basement shows were huge.
Yeah,
and there was this really older band. There was this older band that came out of my town that I used to go to like their shows when I was like really young. They were like a Warped Tour band from mad long ago, but they were called A Rocket to the Moon. And like, they used to play like this church basement all the time. And I was like 14. I'd go with like my friends and stuff. It was sick. It's like people like doing all these like DIY shit, man. It's the best feeling in the world.
Because people who are going there are really doing it because they love it. Oh yeah. They love, like, a lot of times it's like they love that audience that they're playing for, where it's like, remember that the first time of like I wrote the songs for my band that we were really doing at the time, and I just started writing home, and it was like about like the party I went to when I was like 15 or 16, and I remember playing it, and then there was like three or four other bands there, and I saw a couple of the people from each of the bands like singing the words like they do it. I'm like, this is like the best feeling in the world. Like when you're a 15-year-old and you're like, I'm not really sure of myself. Like I hate school. I'm like, I don't really feel like comfortable in my own skin. And then you put something down and then you get that like kind of sung back to you. Like, oh shit. Like I love these people. The people that like really want to support me in like this weird way, or at least like what I'm putting out.
No, literally.
Like, this is awesome.
So now we're going back on. So you are playing full shows with the band, the Vitality. You're doing the thing, you're doing the songs. How's that going? Where does that lead you musically? Because I know, because we were talking earlier and stuff, when do you start touring and like playing for like opening for bands?
So probably around like my I remember like my senior year of high school, we were doing this whole thing. My brother was like had like stayed in the area for college. We had a bass player, we had like switched our guitar players out, and we had 5 or 6 songs, and we recorded an EP. And I remember it was something to do with, like, it was like my first day of being a senior, and I remember I had like came home from, we were recording up in the upstate New York, so I had to take like a train down from upstate New York, train out to Long Island, go for like my first 2 days of school, and then go back in and back up while they were all still recording.
Oh my
like
god,
the three of them
nuts.
Were all recording.
That's nuts.
So we're doing pretty successful at that point. And we had an opportunity open for a couple of really cool bands that eventually like have been successful for themselves. So a band called Reckless Serenade from Mayo Pack, New York. They're no longer around, but they're in, there's a guy. They were awesome. And they were great in the Northeast. They toured all around the Northeast, even like down in the South for a little bit. They were on Warped Tour. The guy, Corey, is actually still a really good friend of mine. He's in a band called Bellows, which is insane. Great power punk, big power, like pop punk stuff. It's really awesome. But so we opened up for them for a little bit. We were doing some other cool, like and had like a local show on Long Island. They were like, who's like a really good band that could get people there that would open for us? It was us. And so there was a place called the Even Flow, which was named after the Pearl Jam song in Baby.
Right.
Lyrics.
Yeah.
And we're,
which is good. That's a solid name. That's a solid name.
So nonetheless, we're going through the lineup and we see this band, and my brother's like, I think I've heard like one or two songs by these guys. And my buddy Marty had sent me a link, and he's like, there's this band from Philadelphia that's touring in the area, and if you're playing with them later tonight. I'm like, great. It was a band called Modern Baseball.
Oh yeah, like one of the biggest fucking bands of all time.
And so this is right.
That's
as
nuts.
Touring.
That's so crazy.
So I only knew one song at the time. So I knew the song The Weeknd off
great
of
Great song, Sports. Yeah, Sports, great record. And it's one of my favorite records of all time.
It's insane. And the music video is like one of the like
so
one
good.
Of like the last big music videos I remember like seeing, where it's like this influence on me as like an artist. Like I'm like, this is insane. And my buddy Marty sent it to me. I'm like, great, this like we're gonna go play for them. And we get there and we start opening up, and we had like a couple of our friends, but it was already pretty full.
I mean, the second they came out were stupid big.
Well, so that was the whole thing. We were like, this is not the size of like the show that I should be playing. And this is like a couple weeks after the record came out. But I remember I had to go home at one point because I got food poisoning and the rest of the guys got to stay.
That's nuts.
Yeah, but like there used to be, there's like a couple of like stories I've had like that, where there's a venue called Webster Hall in New York.
Oh yeah, I love Webster Hall.
So Webster Hall used to do this thing where they would do Run Hover Records would have their annual review. So they would be like bands that they had, and then bands like opened for those bands.
Right.
So that's how I found out about Pine Grove. I went to go see Modern Ball.
Sick. Yeah, there it is.
I went to go see Modern Baseball, and I was like, a couple other bands, like Basement and stuff like that, that I went to go see, Sorority Noise. And then there was, I remember sitting in the basement, I just saw, I think it was Sorority Noise. And all the, I remember one guy, I was there by myself because I was just, I'm going to go to the show. I just want to see these bands. And the guy was like, hey, stick around for the next band. They're sick. Like, I was like, who are they? He's like, there's this band from Montclair, New Jersey. And he's like, they'll pack this place. I'm like, okay, sure. I was like, I'll stick around. I'm talking to some guy at the bar. And I'm saying like, oh, like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm playing one of the bands. I'm like, great. I was like, what's your name? He's like, my name's Evan. And he was the lead singer of Pine Grove.
There it is.
And
yeah. Like,
and he's like, and I was just like talking to him. He's a very nice guy.
Sick.
And then it started to get like really packed. I was like, hey, it's getting really tight here. Like I'm going to go take it for the show. He's like, oh, I've got to go on stage. And I was like, oh, you're playing right now. And he's like, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I heard you're great. And he's like, I like to think we're good.
That's so friggin' cool, man.
But
there's like so many of my, yeah, that's amazing.
The best part about this too is like this show was like they sold out all three rooms.
Of course.
But I remember people coming down and they were playing in this basement, and the basement had essentially like two sets of stairs.
Oh, that's the studio, like the Webster Hall.
Yeah, the studio.
I saw Aaron West there. It was amazing. I love that place.
So I remember the thing I like distinctly remember is like I'm right in the center of the crowd and they start doing Old Friends. And you see like both stairs are filled with people like sitting there, like a total fire hazard. Like people had heard the band upstairs and they decided to come down. So you had people literally sitting on the stairs and like security trying to get them off. And they're like, no, we're just going to sit here and like, listen to this. And people packed like shoulder to shoulder and everybody singing that big verse right before the last chorus.
So sick.
And it was one of those like chilling moments. Like I get chilled just thinking about it. Cause I was like, this is like the power of like some band from New Jersey, like some literally band from New Jersey is just this where they're going, probably playing in like a lot of the same venues I was, and then coming to this and like causing this influence on people. So it was cool, man. Nice. Yeah.
So then what happened with the Vitality stuff? Like what was, you're doing all these big shows, you're playing with these cool bands, you're hanging out with Pine Grove.
yeah
but like
hanging out
like,
so where, I, like so, I'm bumping yeah. in yeah I'm bumping into people and stuff like that, and
but you're in the scene. You are like a part of the vibe.
Yeah, we're heavily a part of the scene, especially in between like Island and York and Westchester. And you know, it was one of those things where I was over there and I was like, this is really great, but I'm writing a lot of my own songs, and like, let's try testing these songs out. Like, let's try testing a couple new songs out, and we start going through them and I'm like, it doesn't fit for this. Like, it doesn't fit for the band here. And then we had a bass player that quit. We had a guitar player who was like, I'm going to college. I'm not really doing this anymore. Like, he was in college his first 2 years around us and he was cool to do it then, but then he went off. It's like, I'm not doing it. And I had my brother who was just, he was just like, I think I'm going to take a break from music for like a little bit. Like I just don't want to keep doing the body stuff. And so I went to college at that point. I was like, okay. So I'd started picking up guitar around the later half of the time. Okay. I started writing with my brother and trying to write for like a new Vitality record and being like, okay. So like we started booking like a tour. We had gigs out in like Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania. And then we canceled all of it. Cause it was just like, no one, like I
Man,
wanted to go.
Like, that's like heartbreaking though. You're like the one person who's like, guys.
I was like,
you're the youngest at the, and you're the youngest in the band too.
Yeah, and I was booking a lot of those
gigs.
That's
tough. That's really tough.
Yeah, man, and
probably had a very big effect mentally, regardless of anything.
Yeah, and if you know, like that first record right before my most recent release, The Camera Eye. Like that first record of One Big Picture Show, it's weird because it's like a lot of like there's really like one or two really happy songs. The rest of it is like
depressing.
It's half happy, half like depressing as hell. And that was just a mixture of like Vitality didn't do a lot of like sad songs. It was all right. A lot of like feel good. Okay, let's get people's attention because we have 30 minutes. So let's have five really happy songs that are all like get people going and like for excited. Sure. So then when I started writing with acoustic more, I started being like, oh, I have some like bad feelings that I want to get out of me. So that's where that record kind of came about. So I started playing in like coffee shops. I was in college up around Westchester, and I split between there and the city at the time because I had a lot of friends down there. So I was doing open mics and doing coffee shops around there, and I could only really bring my guitar. I couldn't bring anything else. I couldn't be a drummer. So the first couple of shows, I was definitely terrible at guitar.
Right.
I feel so bad for anybody who saw me try. Like, I always had a problem changing chords and stuff like that.
But you were still doing it, though, and that's like, that's what matters, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's how I felt. That's how you gotta grow. Yeah, and like I would do stuff where I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna go play like a coffee shop open mic and not invite, like just try to see who's there, and like not try to like get people to show, or just like, okay, like to practice in front of people, mm-hmm. and see like people who don't know you, who aren't obligated to have a response to you, how they react. And that's how I kind of got started with that first full record. And it was such a great thing. So like, you know, the party and stuff like that, it's like a song that I love talking to people about, love right. that people have had like a really good reaction to it, because it's just fun and stupid, and I'm like, this is what comes when I write for Vitality, which is basically doing, you know, songs about like us partying in high school, like right. having great times in like high school and college, and then I start having like the band break up, and like, uh-huh. I moved, I like started college, I did like a lot of big changes, and I was like, okay, I had never really drank for college, and then I started drinking. Gotcha. Like, oh, okay, so like all these mixtures at once, that's what life of the party is like. So the party is kind awesome. Of like is
the
like
evolution's there.
Yeah, it's like this train wreck of a person through and having the time of their life, and I'm like, it's that's it. So I was very excited by that record, and that's kind of where that got it. Was right as the band broke up, I was like, I'm gonna pick up a guitar and let's try to see if I have something to say without it.
That's just
thankfully.
That just shows a lot about your own personality, though. That shows a lot thanks. About how dedicated you are to music specifically. Did Vitality ever record?
Yeah, Vitality.
Have the
we
out
have.
Or
still oh yeah, the record's still out on iTunes and Spotify, YouTube. You can find the majority of Vitality music everywhere. So Vitality it's on Bandcamp still.
Okay, cool.
So Vitality under Vitality. The two big songs off of it were a song called Lake House Drive. The other song was a song called A New Year. It was the other big song that we had off of that. And it was good, man. We got radio station plays we were in rotations for about 12 or so college radio stations in the local area.
That's
we got
awesome.
To go on a couple of
that's
those shows
sick.
And yeah, and it was just like it was a perfect like test run of being a musician.
But if your like, test run is like being very like a big part of like the Long Island music scene as a whole, that's incredible. So yeah. It's so interesting that you've seen now you grew up in bands, you're working with yourself, and you're working through a lot of the things that happened. What was the energy going into this record specifically? Because you said that was obviously a big fill of everything that was going on after the first record. Like the first record was very influenced by the band breaking up and everything else. How was that infiltrated or even made you think about this next record? Because this record's sick. And
the
playing
camera-
with now, like what was making the, was it weird for you now stepping out into the spotlight? Because I think that's something that I've dealt with in my own life where I was playing in a band for a very long time. And now I'm starting just to grow the seeds of just my own brand. Like before it was like, you're hiding behind a band name, but now specifically even coming from the drummer, like you're literally coming from the back to the front man spot.
Yeah. And I would say for yourself, man, like I never thought of it that way. I never thought of it as like, I was hiding behind a band. I was like, I was always like, I'm a part of this. Like,
oh, well,
thing
that's
great.
See, that's, I think so many other people don't feel that sometimes. I feel like when you're trying to put out your own name, it's
yeah.
very nerve wracking in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah. Like I'm not going to lie. Like it's putting something under your own name, rather than under a band where you can always be like, oh, like I didn't write that part.
No, literally. Like, yeah. Like song, you're like, it's your name. That, you wrote like, everything. Like it's all you.
Yeah. And so the way, so like with this record in particular, I did the first record really with three people, including myself. So I did all the drum tracks. I did a couple, like one of the bass tracks, a couple of the guitar tracks, and then all the vocal tracks with a guy named Rob Freeman, who's a producer out of New Jersey. He's worked with Cobra Starship, Gym Class Heroes.
Where were you? Were you at Barbershop or?
What?
Where? What studio? Were you at Barbershop or?
It's a studio called Audio Pilot Studio.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Based out of Boonton, New Jersey, but I think right now it's like somewhere in the middle, like central Jersey.
Okay.
Corey's right on, like, he has got like this almost like farm type place out in the middle of nowhere, and he records in a barn out there. I highly recommend. Rob is one of the greatest producers I've ever had to work with. He's awesome. And then I had my brother who stepped in and did a couple of guitar tracks that I was just not capable of doing. And then with this record, I had gone through and had done a couple of shows with a full band and a bunch of shows just by myself.
Right.
So after playing with like a full band, I have a writing partner, a guy named Tom Bauer, who's also still really big in the Long Island music scene. He's a touring musician around there with his band, the Tom Bauer Trio.
Shout out.
And he's a friend of mine that I grew up with. And he's a like birthday musician, classically trained.
Of course. Yeah, one of those.
And like he knows how to dissect like a song where he's like, okay, you've got like four hooks here. Let's try to get seven. I'm like, okay. I wasn't thinking like that. I was just like, we're like, okay, let's try to get seven.
No, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, so working with him, and he was a guy who would ever step in. I was like, man, I've got a gig. I need somebody to do keyboards. I need somebody to play guitar and help me out. He'd always be like, yeah, I'll sub in. And then I had a great drummer, Emmanuel Lewis, who was helping me out for touring during that period, and my brother and a couple other people. So I had a roving group of musicians who I was like,
well,
hey,
you just
guys
have your group that, like, especially like now that you're doing your own thing, it's hard to have a complete concrete band specifically.
Yeah, it's like a band without a band.
You have your A team, your B team, your C team.
Yeah, you got the guys you call and dial up, and it was always really awesome to see what each person would bring different to a song.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Somebody would say like a different word and different lyrics. So this record felt very much like, I guess, like a band record in a way. It's just like a much bigger band.
Well, it's a full record. I mean, it's definitely sounds full. It's not like it's just you're carrying on your shoulders. Like, you have some amazing players with you on this.
Yeah. So Tom came in for a couple of days. He does a lot on this record. He does a bunch of keyboards. He does a lot of artwork. My brother was in with us for a bunch of days doing the guitar work. Rob's on it for a good while. We had a guy named Josh Griggs, who's a tour with a guy named Mickey James right now, on the drums. I did none of the drum tracks on this. So
was that relieving? Or did you trust it as a drummer?
We get in there the first 2 days trying to go through it with Rob.
It's like a very, like, it's a very Dave Grohl-esque.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a very, where you're going from drumming to guitar. And then it's a very interesting, it must be very interesting to now write music specifically on guitar over drums or anything.
Yeah, so I've been in the New York City area now for like the past 4 or 5 years, and you can't play drums in an apartment in New York City because people complain.
Oh, they
so
do.
My
fun fact.
Yeah, my drum traps are you know, I'm subbing in for bands on occasion and stuff now and playing whenever I get the chance, but I'm not in the shape that I used to be in at all. So having a guy like Josh come in where I'm like, okay, so I've got my ideas, I've worked through a bunch of this stuff, you know, I'm going through with the click track. And they'll be like, okay, I want to try this fill here. And then Josh will be like, oh, okay, you mean this? And I'm like, that's
like, yeah.
10 times.
Like, yeah, sure.
That's,
of course.
That's 10 times better. So it was relieving in a way, but it was definitely, it was one of those things where it's like, you're handing off like a child. You're like, I'm a drummer. I'm handing this off to you. And then it's like, the guy's like a better parent. Josh was incredible. I mean, I remember we did we tried doing the first 2 days. I'm trying to do two of the drum tracks for two of the songs. I'm just like not hitting it. I'm not getting it. And Rob's like, I've got this great guy. I'll pull him in and he'll work with you. And he does them all. He does like all the drum tracks in like a day.
And that's awesome. And I'm like, you just need this.
And the way he attacked it, man, like it doesn't sound like me on the record. I'm very glad that it doesn't.
Good.
Like I'm very glad that the drum tracks are not me on this record. He does stuff stylistically that I would hit too hard or
Before you were a guitar player, you were a drummer that played, you were someone who played guitar like a drummer. And now you're someone who plays drums like a guitar player.
That's the perfect way to put it.
That's the analysis that I'm going to give for that one specifically. But I mean, dude, the record is so sick. What were the other emotions that were going through? Was this a COVID record? How was it, like, the songwriting specifically that went into this record? Because again, it's so interesting to hear your full transition from, again, being like the young kid in the band to, as the drummer, to now being like, again, front man, or like the life of the party, as like you would say, into that capacity.
Yeah.
What was it like going in lyrically for this record specifically, like tonally too?
I think really between, you know, One Big Picture Show and The Camera Eye was, I wrote a, like The Camera Eye and stuff I had written for the first record.
Right.
And we started going through it. I'm just like, it's not right. I even tried like a demo of it to give off to Rob, and it just did not sound right. And then I started really going back and digging deeper into, like, I guess you would say, like, more traditional classic rock stuff. So I started getting really heavily into like The Cure and The Pretenders. Oh, man.
Don't
and,
even get me in. Don't you? I'll go on a soapbox. I love The Goddamn Cure and The Pretenders.
And like The Police and stuff like that. So my brother was like, you know, he's like, The Camera Eye, said you could really do as that kind of like The Police double stop style of strumming. Mm-hmm, sure. And he, like a movie, that song on the record is like, that's a Cure and Pretender song. Like, we took basically, I loved, there's a song called Back in the Chain Gang, and I love, they love have these, that like, song. That
there's also down, the Morrissey, like, version that people tend to like.
Yeah, the Morrissey version is insane. I love
stupid,
that version.
Stupid good.
But that like guitar riff mixed with like, you know, like Just Like Heaven and all these other things, where I was like, I've had the ability to play as an acoustic singer-songwriter, but I haven't had the ability to play as like an acoustic guitar player with a band.
I mean, but that's, I think, the goal.
Well, that's what this, I feel like this record really does, is I took a lot of those influences and try to do like Hollywood was written on acoustic, and we were just right. Like, let's get it a little grittier. Like, try to like, let's get a guitar with a lot of gain in there and make it a little more edge to it.
Do you mostly write all your songs on acoustic guitar first and then go to like the band or the studio and then like kind of really work it out? Or are you a big demo guy? What's your process for like starting those songs? Are you mostly just writing on acoustic?
It's weird. I would say like of the 10 songs on the record, seven were written on acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And you can kind of hear the songs that are.
They're more based, so like, acoustic guitar wise, sure.
Yeah, like Two Old Lovers, Like a Movie, Trinabago, all those are, you could tell the songs that were written on acoustic guitar and stuck there. Mm-hmm. Like The Cry was like one of those things where I wrote the lyrics and I couldn't find, I was like, I know the rhythm of how I wanted to bass out, but I can't really think of like a way to put it out on guitar. I kept trying to do it in like different chord structures or with riffs, and I couldn't find the right thing. And then going with my brother before we'd go into the studio, he was just like, oh yeah, that's really easy. He's like, you're listening to this type of music. Like, you want to put these types of double stops in there and do this type of rhythm where the bass is leading it the entire.
Does your brother still find joy in that? Is he almost like a co-producer that just like, cause he misses, does he secretly miss?
Like, yeah.
Stuff? So, do you think he like lives kind of with you in the music realm, or what's the dynamic like for you guys?
So it's great. So he took a couple years off, and then he ended up going back to music. He has a record out called Still Young on Spotify under Matt McDermott. So Peter McDermott, Matt McDermott. And I helped him out with a couple songs on that. He also recorded that, ironically, with Rob. He sat in for the One Big Picture Show sessions. He said, hey, I've written a couple things. Rob, would you mind if I came in and like did a record with you? And he's like, yeah, of course. So he ended up recording with Rob, and I think it like reinvigorated his love of music. And then we just became writing partners again. Like, right. It was
that's 7 years awesome, of us. Though. That's so sick.
Yeah. I mean, we think together in like a different fashion, where we like very different types of music, which is helpful because he's like very into like a lot of like Passion Pit and stuff like that, and kind of like more electronic based music. Mm-hmm. Sure. And then I'm very much in the line of like, I love my songwriters. I love my old school folk country singer songwriters. I love a lot of like the alternative stuff that we grew up with. Yeah. And like, that's the intersection, is the alternative music that we like.
But that's amazing. So, the fact that you can bounce off each other with those two different vibes is like, I mean, it makes really good music, clearly.
Yeah. And I think it was the type of thing that he was always more of the music person. I was always more the lyricist.
Well, there it is. So, I think that you plugged that exactly, specifically, because I'm the exact same way as you. I could care less about the music, if I'm being honest. Everything that I think storytelling wise is lyrical, and I think everything lyrical is storytelling wise. I think it's trying to be able to get emotions out is like the most pure human connection that you could possibly have. And I think that's what I relate to the most with music. Because I mean, look, I'm not a good guitar player.
No,
I'm a John, not a George. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those. It's one of those things that's just really tough for me to even write integral music.
Yeah,
in that capacity.
Well, that's when you were saying before too. Like I find it so easy to write with an acoustic guitar now. Oh, like yeah. I had lyrics, you know, coming out of me for like a long time when I started writing. I didn't feel comfortable. I think that was the one really great thing where. When I was starting out as a drummer, I saw what a great song looked like, likely wise and music wise. And I'm like, oh, okay. So if I try to do the lyrics for a good song, the music will follow. And then I've gotten to this point now where it's like my lyrics, I feel good with. Like I can go crank out a song over a couple of months or even like 30 minutes. Sometimes where you're like, wow, this just says everything that I'm feeling right now. And now I've got to work on the music with it, which now thankfully I've gotten to the point where my music ability is really catching up, where it's like people ask you, what are you first? It's like, are you a singer first? Are you a songwriter first? Are you a musician first? It's like, I'm a songwriter first. Like yeah, I always look at myself that way. And I think you do too. But like, then I would say at this point, I'm like, I'm a songwriter and a musician. Like I feel comfortable in saying that I can like look at somebody else's music. I'm like, let's change that chord a little bit.
Yeah.
Like let's make that chord a little like fancy.
Make it a little more funky.
Yeah. Like let's bring another element to this.
But dude, man, I mean, I'm happy for your journey because going through every single aspect of being in a band and like to your own solo stuff, dude, the records are sick, man. I love the EP and I love the full length. I'm really, really, I'm so stoked that you reached out because it really gave me a chance to dive into this music.
Well, I appreciate you diving in, man. I wanted to say, like, I really love the podcast too,
and
the bands that you've had on here, like the local bands, like. But I'm saying, like even people like Slumber, people should please check them out.
They're amazing. Slumber is sick. Jane, their manager, is dope as hell.
Yeah,
definitely go check them out. They're amazing. I mean, but like again, like I always say this on all the podcasts. Like I'm such an advocate. I just want to show people their music. Like I just want to like help anyone that I possibly can. Just want to help them out and support them, you know? That's what I've always been doing.
Yeah.
We've been doing that since we were 10. That's the thing.
Yeah.
People like you, you get that. You get that idea, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the type of thing is that if anybody's ever, you know, there's no, like, with how much music is being written now and recorded by people, it's like, there's, you can't complain that there's not music to listen to. It's like,
no, there's too much.
There's too much, and it's like, if you haven't found something that, like, scratched that itch, like, or like Modern Baseball or Front Bottoms or like those bands were bands I didn't know I needed in my life until I went and saw them or until I stumbled upon them.
I got into those bands. I was in the backseat of my friend's car when I was 15 and he said, check this out. And I was like, oh, I could make music and not be a professional singer. Sick. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's an opening. Great.
Yeah, where it's like it changes your perspective too. It's like when you see somebody like that coming out of a music scene and you're like, hey, like I know a buddy who's like, I'm getting paid like $20 to do a show, or if I'm getting paid at all, it's like I know somebody who's on like a tour right now. It's like, or I know somebody who's like they're playing the gig for like 100 people that are not their friends. It's like those little bars of entry, even as like if you're a musician or not a musician, if you're just like a lover of music, going to see that in your local community and going to see the gigs at like a Nicicles or a bowling alley or a coffee house or public library or whatever.
Just go support, go to shows, just go to shows.
And you will be better for it. Like
absolutely.
Especially if you're a younger musician, seeing somebody who is like a couple years older than you, who's spent that time to do it, it changes your perspective and you're like, oh, I can write like this guy or I can write better than this person. And I always say this all the time. Like I was influenced by so many local bands I grew up with.
Oh my God.
No one will ever know about.
I have so many burnt CDs from weird church shows that I'm like, I remember I was in the car recently. Again, I don't know if anyone has ever heard this band. I doubt they ever will. I have one friend who I went to that show with, and we talk about this band. This band called The Bay State. They're definitely not a band anymore, but yeah, they were integral to my basic start in music. They were so integral because I was 14. I was like, this is sick. I think they were from two towns over. They're only 4 years older.
Yeah, no, there are bands too, like a band like Reckless Serenade, or they're called In Circles, which they're still playing around in New York. And there's a band called Sharky, which was a bunch of our friends from school that we played with. And our guitar player at one point left to go play with them. And we're like, come on. And then we went to go see them and we're like, this is what a live show should be. Like, you should be there. Like, their lead singer was this guy named Trevor Mack, who, like, he was possessed every single time he was playing. I was like, this guy loves what he's doing for 20 minutes.
And just wants to put it all out there.
Yeah. And that, if nothing else, like, that gives me, like, every single time I think about those songs or listen to those, like, those burn CDs that you're like, these two songs freaking hit.
No one will ever hear them again. No one will, they'll never get on.
No. I had a friend who suggested that. He's like, we should take, like, all the musicians that we know, and they should cover a band that no one knows from their local area that they
count me
with.
In. I'm in. Oh, get me in. Get me in on it. I will put the cover of Streetlights by The Bay State. It's happening. I'm in. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Because I think
we should do a split. That'd be sick.
There's some of these records, so man, fun. People got to hear. You know.
Oh, dude. Pete, man, you're fucking sick. I'm so happy you hit me up to do this. You're just awesome, man. I just want to support you, dude.
Thank you so much, Morgan. And thanks for having me on and everything, man. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Dude, I really appreciate it. Go check out Peter's record. Please just do it. It's sick. We're here to support music. We're here to do it.
And anybody listening out there, the Camera Eye is available on, like, all streaming services.
All streaming
and everything.
Services.
All streaming services, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, all that. If anybody's in the Massachusetts area, I'll be playing at Riverwalk Brewing Company for December 4th.
No way, really?
Riverwalk Brewing Company.
I know that place.
I know. I'm saying Riverwalk Company in Northern Massachusetts. I'll be playing there December 4th.
Go check it out. I'll text my friends to go support you.
We're doing a benefit cert, man. So all money goes to charity. So
hell yeah. Go help out a good charity. Go help out Peter. And most importantly, go listen to his record. Go watch those live videos on his website. They're sick.
Great.
All right. Peter, you're the man, dude. Thank you so much for hanging out, man. And please definitely keep listening. And then if you have anyone else that you want to get on the podcast, just give me a heads up. I want to have you back on. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah, Morgan. Yeah, I really, really love that. Thanks so much for having me on.
Go listen to Peter.